All right, welcome to the Health Ranger Report on Brighteon.tv. I'm Mike Adams, and today we're joined by Sam Freeman and an individual who is known as the Greek. I know, it's mysterious sounding, isn't it? Well, these guys are joining me to talk about philosophy and kind of the cosmic picture. We're going to talk about reason and rationality, the transition of the ages in human civilization, potentially the coming collapse, and then what it means for humanity to rebuild. Who will be here? And what kind of society will we be living in, or perhaps our children or grandchildren, after the collapse of this current society, which is rooted in irrationality and runaway incompetence? So we've got a lot to talk about here. I think you'll find this to be a fascinating interview with some free-thinking individuals that we've never been able to speak with before. And that's why I built this platform, so we can have conversations like this with some intriguing thinkers. So that interview is straight ahead right here on Brighteon.tv. All right, welcome to today's interview. Mike Adams here, the Health Ranger, founder of Brighteon.com, free speech platform where we encourage people to speak freely, and we invite people to join us who also speak freely but think freely. I mean, anybody can speak. The question is, what mind is behind your words? And today we're joined by two very intriguing individuals who have brilliant minds. You probably have not heard of them before because they're first-time guests with us, but they do have other projects that we'll talk about out on the internet. So we have Sam Freeman joining us from Stockholm, Sweden, and then his associate known as The Greek joining us. And we're going to cover some fascinating topics today that will blow your mind. So welcome, Sam and The Greek. It's great to have you with me today.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me just tell my audience that I saw a video clip from Sam, and we don't have to go into details about what project that's for or anything, but it was just like a little demo clip, and it was so intriguing, Sam, about what you were talking about, and especially being that you're in Sweden, and so much of Europe has gone off the rails, as much of the United States as well. So, you know, here we are. Islands of, I think, reason in a sea of woke insanity at the moment. So I had to invite you on. So what would you tell people about a little bit about your background, and also for The Greek? Give us a little background so that people can have kind of a starting point for this conversation.
Sure. Thank you, first of all, for having us. It's always a pleasant surprise when people take interest in what you're doing. So it's great to be chatting with you, Mike. In terms of my background, I'm not anyone of any public renown. Most of my work is done privately, though I have been a part of a few public-facing projects with The Greek. I'm not quite an armchair philosopher, because that sometimes implies laziness, but I'm not a public intellectual either, so perhaps I'd call myself an aspiring intellectual or an impromptu journalist, but certainly an all-around student of many things. In terms of background, I'm an interview journalist, mostly with a history in the music business, running different websites for interviewing people in the audio world, like studio owners, recording engineers, and then also music executives. But most recently, I've pivoted from that into producing interview-centric video content, podcasts, documentaries, anything with an interview focus. And that's how, you know, that video got put together, which I shared with you at one point, mostly talking about the media. As far as my associate here at The Greek, we've worked on a few projects together, and I'll let him talk about himself.
Okay. Go ahead, The Greek.
All right. Yeah, sure. Well, what I say about myself is I'm just visiting this world taking notes.
And, I like it.
I realized at a really young age that objectivity and truth was something that was not either objective or truthful, right? So I started thinking about it, and I said, well, why don't I make this sort of a sideline pursuit, since I was, you know, pre-adolescent even. And at the age of the internet, which I consider, let's say, the heyday was probably about 10 years ago, many people were encouraged me to call in on radio shows or, you know, do various conferences or whatever on the internet. And I found that more people than I ever imagined had interest on what really is going on. And when I say what really is going on is mastering your reality, that just the reality that is just immediate in front of you within a 5-foot radius. Are you
right.
really, are you just paying attention? And just briefly, as we spoke, we're going to be coming into an age of competency, sort of how there was an age of enlightenment, let's say 200 or 300 years ago attempted. What I mean by competency is to be competent. It doesn't mean you're intelligent or smart. It just means that you know what you're saying, you mean what you say, and you know what you're doing. And that's pretty much what the Greek speak element, all the elements of Greek speak are, and usually cover anywhere between 10 to 36 subjects, and show people how easy it is to achieve close to mastery of any subject without being a quote-unquote professional, which I define as someone who's always learning more and more about less and less.
Okay, well, that's really fascinating. I'm really glad you started with that, because both of you are big picture thinkers. You understand the cycles of history, the cycles of consciousness, the cycles of the rise and fall of human civilization. So let me pose a question. This will be to Sam first, but I'd like both of you to answer it. When I look around, I see that we're in the final chapter, it looks like to me, in the age of incompetence. So we have institutional leaders and government leaders and media leaders and so on who demonstrate just stunning incompetence. I guess the most recent example is this Signature Bank that collapsed in New York. They were experts at making music videos featuring themselves virtue signaling to music. They were horrible at risk assessment and managing the money of their depositors, right? So totally incompetent in the area where they claim to be professionals, but yet they had this side competency of being pretty good at singing and dancing, which is fine unless you're a banker, right? So do you agree with me that we're about to switch out of this age of incompetence, or that we're even in such an age? Or how would you describe it? Let's start with you, Sam. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I would say that there is an age in which we're living that most people don't know what they're doing, and particularly the people who call themselves the leaders. It's very interesting how the competency that you would expect these people to display really isn't there. And you have to wonder if it's duplicitous merely or also malevolent, because sometimes it feels like that level of incompetency can't be reached without it being, you know, evil in some way, or something evil that's animating it. You know, these are things that the Greek has elaborated on endlessly over the years. And, you know, I've only gotten into this line of study in the past 4 or 5, but I have found that the incompetency is underpinned by some type of malevolence that's hard to put your finger on, and that you have to look into and be wary of not getting spun into la-la land with conspiracy theories, but actually be objective about.
Well, it seems like this age of incredibly easy money, you know, 0% interest rates, the illusion of economic abundance, where at the core it's not really there, but this allowed a lot of people to pretend like they were competent, to pretend like they were in business or making money or producing profits, when in fact you peel back that layer and you realize, hey, there's nothing there. These people had no idea what they were doing.
What strikes me about the Western world is how its economies, especially in the 21st century, sort of built themselves not on the idea of running profitable businesses, but on the credit system that creates this disproportionate amount of funds from a place that most people can't explain. And part of the reason I think why the third world stays so poor isn't just because it's exploited, it's also because their financial institutions don't have easy access to these credit facilities that grant them seemingly infinite money. So, the Western world amasses all this cash flow and economic activity because of its credit system, and then it parks billions of it into investment banking to fund all these companies. And I think we see this development really kick into overdrive in the 2010s with Silicon Valley and consumer tech startups, and a number of these companies pop up around a decade ago and promise to change everybody's life when it comes to, you know, working, exercising, eating, shopping, cooking, etc. So basically the Ubers, the Airbnbs, the WeWorks, the DoorDashes. And they barely own any real world infrastructure or assets or do real things, but they control entire industries by monopolizing information. And to maximize their growth, you know, they suppress their prices enormously through the money that comes from venture capital, which is effectively a subsidy. And I think one of the most notable VCs in that space is the Vision Fund, which is this investment company founded by a Japanese bank called SoftBank. But they have like $150 billion under management, mostly from sovereign wealth funds of Saudi Arabia and UAE. And a lot of their money gets invested into these companies like Uber and DoorDash and WeWork. And so, you know, the brands are able to take over the market because they're so much cheaper than their competitors, but most of them are never profitable. They're just surviving on this Middle Eastern oil money and whatnot.
And SoftBank, and so, also Vision Fund funded FTX too, by the way. You probably know that, but they were involved in that as well. To the Greek, then, what are your thoughts on the transition of the age here, if that's what you would call it?
Oh, great. You know, when you introduced the transition of the age prior, you said about the age, which is time, and then money, you went right to the bank. I want to give two compressed versions, two compressed, like, seeds to be planted that can be uncompressed later. I'll give you the choice. Would you like the dose of time or the dose of the financial system first?
No, let's talk about time, because that's
okay,
the construct
great.
In which we operate. So,
oh, sure. Okay. In terms of time, I'm going to shoot a 2-hour film using old film, right? A movie. Do I buy exactly 2 hours worth of film, or do I buy 2 hours and 10 minutes because I need to roll credits at the end? Right.
You need to buy like 200 hours of film because you're gonna edit
wait,
most
well,
of it.
let's say there is no editing. It's straight run. It's like the Hitchcock, The Rope. Right. So in this case, what I mean is, it's a 2-hour film, but at 2 hours, the people are still in their seats watching the credits. But it's okay to speak over it. You know, people aren't going to tell you to shut up when the credits are rolling. Right. So that's where we're in right now. The credits started rolling around 1998. When you're looking at the ages of 2,000-year chunks, around 1998. This is from the scriptural biblical timekeeping. It's also from your 20th century prophets. A lot of people in the metaphysical world, the Blavatskys, the Caseys, also said this, right? Ironically, I had not gotten it from them, though. I had gotten it from ancient writs. So what's interesting is since the credits started rolling around 1998, we have about a 40 or so year period. So over a 6,000 year period, 40 years of credits seems to be proportional. And what I mean about it's important to view it as you're in the credits is during the film, people expect a certain etiquette. But when the credits are rolling, the film is still in action, but it's okay to speak, it's okay to stand up. Some of the lights start coming on, right? But what you also notice about the credits rolling is all of the stuff that was behind the scenes that was not on the film itself.
Right. They'll do outtakes and things like that.
Sure. Or also just mentioned, like, during the film, you don't know who was the key grip, but now you do.
Right.
So after 1998, you're going to start seeing a movement toward, hey, do you know that this society is being run by secret societies of this, 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 and that? Do you know that this was really invented back then? Do you know, you see a lot of what is basically the fabric and underpinning of the alternative media, whether it's history, economics, whatever, even the medical, there's all this stuff that's been coming out, you know, the travails of the Catholic Church, right? All these things are a religion. Every topic under the sun now is experiencing a minor upheaval where these things are being brought out into the open. The other thing that's happening right now that I would like to overlap, that it's a movie, we're watching the credits. The etiquette now has changed. It's okay to stand up and speak. The lights are coming on. What will happen when the credits are end is the lights come on and the screen comes up and you see a brick wall, right? That's the end of the credits. We're still about a decade or so from that.
And then everybody realizes they've been living in a scripted Truman Show.
Right.
Reality.
And in short, what does that mean? It means total collapse of your infrastructure, meaning none of the government employees are going to work. None of the power station employees are going to work. None of the water people are going to work. None of the road people are going to work. None of the banks are going to work. Right. Infrastructure collapse. Right. So when you think about what society will be, is basically you hit the light switch, there's no light. You turn on the plumbing, there's no water. In over a gradual period, right? And we've heard the stories of what happens with that, right? After just about, 10 days without power or something, right? Everyone has heard that. Okay. But what's also interesting, what's happening, is we're having revival of philosophies, religions, sciences, perceptions, ideologies from the ancient past that has been obscured from our history. So when you start seeing all this stuff happening, for example, with the gender bending, or how the medical community is doing, so how government is running things, or how religions are changing, those things have happened way back in the past.
Right.
And when they happen again, we think it's something new. No, it's just a revival, right, of something very ancient. So I tell people, if you want to really know something new about what's coming, read an old book. And I mean really, really old. Basically, anything that was written in the past 1902, 1895, or 1920 for sure, is already been censored very heavily. So, you know, if you want to get a grip or a taste of what how people thought and what was known to be coming is very clear in 19th century. I always say that everything that could have been known was known by the late 19th century. That's why you see there's I'm not a big proponent of flat earth or mud flood, but you'll notice there's a lot of talk about what happened in the middle or end by the end of the 19th century. All these orphans, all this high tech, we don't understand the architecture, right? All this stuff. So I really like people to have a view on that. Also, in terms of timekeeping, you're on what I call the Pope's work schedule, which is a schedule. You have the work week and the weekend, and Monday through Friday, January through December. Let me just bring this up in terms of timekeeping. Organic timekeeping, meaning the time that the planet uses, the whales, the bugs, the birds, the bees, the plants, they don't go on the Gregorian calendar or the wind-up toy known as the clock. For example, the day starts at solar noon, not midnight, not sundown. Right, you can measure it with a sundial. That's why years ago, if you did regular banking before the electronic convention, if you deposited a check after noon, it was counted as the next day. In the Wild West, when they had court, they hung you high. The next day, they hung you right from for whatever it was at when at high noon. So the day ends at solar noon. This is, by the way, in your academic paperwork. If you go to university for astronomy, they tell you that the day starts at solar noon for scientific and astronomical purposes. But for the people, it's civil midnight. It's kind of like a put down, right? Like the old dictionaries, when they defined the word oats, they said this: what we feed horses in England, but the staple of the people in Scotland, right? Kind of a So the moon, what's interesting about the full moon, most people see the full moon and say, oh, how beautiful, or it's this moon or that moon, or people tend to act strange. Do you know, for thousands of years, people settled their debts before the full moon came, or the new, it's really the new moon. That's why today, when they, don't you get these things called bills in the mail on what? On a monthly basis, don't you? Isn't that interesting? Right? So also the full moon is the new moon because you take a measurement with it. Time has to be precise. You cannot measure any kind of a moon calendar or lunar cycle with the sliver that they're calling the dark moon. So what's interesting is once you start to put these things in alignment, so people want to do biblical holidays, when it says the 13th day of the first month, it's not January 13th, you see. These things are all measured by astronomical bodies. Mm-hmm. Because you don't have to buy a clock, you don't have to buy a calendar, and it doesn't change. See, so time is important. That's I did a Sonic event recently about timekeeping, and no matter how successful someone thinks they are in this society or any society and is basing their time, which has circadian rhythm, biological clocks, and all that, on what I call the wind-up toy known as the clock or the Gregorian calendar, you will always feel like you're missing out on something. There is just something that you're not aligned with, right?
Yeah.
Well,
I have a comment on that, and I also want to mention your website or your interview
project
content. Yeah, it's called Ocelli and the Greek, Ocelli, and that's at ocelli.com. I've got it on screen there.
That's right.
And your show is called Rated Y. Y for yes or
Y for W-H-Y.
Oh, okay. W-H-Y. Okay. But I wanted to mention,
phonetic Y. Yeah.
Got it. I lived in Taiwan for a couple of years. And of course, in the Chinese calendar, the Chinese calendar is lunar centric. And I found out that the Chinese, even the Chinese, you know, Taiwanese who are Chinese, even those living in the city who can't see the moon because of the city, they still know the phase of the moon because it's their calendar. Whereas I find Americans living in the countryside who can see the moon still don't know where the moon is or what it's doing, or that it follows almost the same path all the time, but just on a different schedule. So
right.
I found that to be a shocking difference between Eastern time and Western time. And then I found out they keep inserting months into the Gregorian calendar through history and so on. And that's why September is 9 instead of 7, you know, things like
that's
that.
That's right.
It's
Very good. Most be October is 8, November is 9, December is 10. They give you 4 months where they label the numeric aspect correct. Just like when you take a multiple choice question and answer test, they give you four possible answers, right?
Yeah.
But right now, everyone's failing. What's interesting, though, you mentioned about the American here in the Midwest or something. The real savvy ones have these things called farmer's almanacs.
Right.
And they suggest you do certain plantings with certain phases of the moon, right?
Yes.
So it's really interesting how this is the competency aspect of it. Now, in terms of timekeeping, I call that lawful timekeeping. And lawful means you don't have to involve someone else. Usually means you don't have to go into commerce to get what you need. You see, that's why I call it lawful timekeeping, right? Because if you don't have a phone or a wind-up toy known as the clock or a calendar, what day is it? Most people can't reckon that. Where if you do know lawful timekeeping, you just go outside and you can tell.
And then the ultimate insult is daylight savings time, as it's called, which is a joke. But
it's wartime. It's wartime.
Yeah, it's like psychological warfare.
It's called wartime. Because during the war, they wanted people to work longer and be able to walk home during the daylight. It's one of the aspects. You could actually look up the history on that.
That's wild. But right now, of course, we just went through that in Western society, and it's also hormone disruption for everybody.
Oh, yeah.
To keep you off track. But let me bring in Sam on this issue here again. So, you know, we're talking about, Sam, sort of aspects of how the construct of reality has been engineered around us in a way that dissociates us or separates us from the real cosmic reality, right? So you're not supposed to look at the moon or the stars or the sun. You're not supposed to even look inward. You're not supposed to realize who you are, where you came from. You're supposed to believe these artificial systems that are handed to us. This has happened before, but today it seems like it's gone to a whole new level with mobile phones, mobile devices. What are your thoughts on this subject?
Well, I mean, I think we live in a world where nothing is harder to achieve than, you know, understanding the truth with a capital T. People are struggling more than ever to make sense of things, and there doesn't even seem to be a body of knowledge that acts as a reliable measure of truth. I think that the mainstream religions don't do very well. The mainstream media doesn't do it. Academia doesn't do it. None of them have really been able to impart a satisfactory understanding of a lot of the contradictions that we see. That's why one of the things the Greek used to emphasize when we'd speak some years back was how the normalcy of human society is actually dysfunctional. You know, the norms and the institutions that society encourages us to place trust in are actually the source of the problems.
Exactly. And even in medicine, I've often commented that, you know, when doctors say things like, oh, people just get that at your age. I think, wow, that's because the population at large is so unhealthy and on so many medications and processed junk foods that they develop those conditions at that age. And all the doctors think that that's normal and even just causative because of age, which is nonsense. But that kind of thinking pervades every area of society, does it not?
Yeah, it does. I mean, I think most people live their lives unaware that entire facets of society are meant to influence their actions and their beliefs, whether it's your parents, the schools, the government, the media. They all work together to create this tier of reality that we call the mainstream.
Right.
The mainstream is just a place where everything runs on plausible deniability of what everybody thinks that they know. And so basically, you know, stock conventions about reality that don't make any sense.
I like the way you said that. Yeah, it runs on plausible deniability. Isn't it shocking? And let me direct this to the Greek. Isn't it shocking that, you know, for those of us like you two I'm talking to today and our audience, I would consider to be well-informed, people who like to learn, people who like to understand. And yet we interact with other people in the world around us who are completely oblivious. They literally know nothing except the illusions that are put in front of them and perhaps, you know, how to put on their socks. But thank you for watching today. I'm Mike Adams. Feel free to share this interview on other platforms. You have our permission to do so. Thank you for watching today, everybody. Take care.